Good afternoon and welcome to Rogers Center. It's a big day and it's a Blue Jays pre-game show as David Price makes his Toronto debut. The Jays are the first of four games against the Minnesota Twins. Irvin Santana will answer for the Twins, who are a game ahead of the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles for the second wild card spot in the American League. I'm Mike Wilner. We got a heck of a show planned for you. We will join the rest of the country at the bottom of the hour for our full network pregame show. You'll hear from Jerry Howarth with John Gibbons. You'll hear from Joe Siddle as well. But right now, we have gathered the Writers' Roundtable, and we are always well represented by Sportsnet. We've got Shai Davidi of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca. We've got Jeff Blair of Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.ca. And we've got Mark Zwolinski, the Toronto Star, because we love to have Zorro around. No question. Blair, you're first because this is your time slot. You know, noon, you'll be back tomorrow during Baseball Central. We were just talking to Jose Bautista. Jose didn't seem to think it was a big deal that the Blue Jays are a game back of the Twins for the wild card spot. But this is, I mean, that's a big deal. David Price pitching is a big deal. This is a pretty huge day.
Yeah, I think what you saw yesterday, Sunday, I think has a lot to do with the fact that guys like David Price are here and that Troy Tulowitzki are here. I think there's a sense in that clubhouse that you really want to put your best foot forward. And I think that's what you saw the Blue Jays do yesterday. I kind of agree with Jose. You win three or four of this series would be great. But a split, I think the Jays have to look at the Yankees. I think if you keep looking at the Yankees and trying to beat the Yankees, the rest of it will take care of itself.
Zorro, what's going on here with David Price starting and with sellout crowd? The feeling, you were here, you covered this team 20 years ago. Is the feeling similar?
I think it's very similar. I don't think we've seen something quite like this since then. And that's a very good point, because I remember Jim Fregosi, the late Jim Fregosi, saying that baseball's not dead in the city, it's just dormant. It's no longer dormant. And I think with Price and the names that we've been mentioning here, it's brought that excitement from under some rock or whatever, and it's very real, because we know this team has been challenging, through July and into early August, been mathematically still in this, but there's something different about this that, even though there's a certain number of games away, that there is a team here that can make this charge, this push, the talent levels here, and there's something to watch. Exciting baseball, meaningful baseball in August. I think that's what we're seeing here.
It's the Writers' Roundtable on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Blue Jays pre-game show. Shai Davidi, we talked about how this four-game series against Kansas City had that playoff feel. The Blue Jays take three out of four games against the best team in the league, and they did it without David Price. Is that significant?
I think so, considering all the questions that have surrounded this rotation all year, and like, can they do it in big series, and can they deliver against top teams, and it was a very good series for this team as a whole. But again, it's four games, and we can't overemphasize four games. I think, as Jeff mentioned, one of the keys to me is that yesterday's game had a galvanizing effect, and it's easy, and it can be trite to say that, but when you turn over 20% of the club's roster, you put five new players in the mix, and then you have a game like that where everyone's together and everyone's united and everyone has to have one another's back. That's meaningful. And in the context of the opponent and the time of year and all the things that have happened over the past week, that was meaningful. And then this series is an opportunity to build off that. Now, if the Jays go 1-3, is it the end of the world? No. But this is a team that has an opportunity now to take the step forward that it needs to take. It needs to go on a run. Everybody knows that. It's got to start making its move. The Yankees loom on the weekend. This is a good opportunity to carry some momentum and build something that they can hopefully carry over the rest of the year.
Mark Zwolinski, let's talk about the word Shai used, galvanizing. You're the only one of this group that's played pro ball. We talk about corporate stuff and team-building activities and all of that. You send people out into the wilderness for 3 days. But I mean, can an event like yesterday do more to pull a bunch of new guys together than anything else?
Well, absolutely, and I think part of that was when you see a young pitcher like Sanchez do what he did in the eighth inning. That demonstrates that age is, and rookie status has nothing to do with that, that you're part of the team, you stick up for your teammates. That is that's something that you can't buy, something that you can't even coach. It's there. I mean, these guys have all, you know, realized that and are pulling for each other. So a galvanizing effect, the Shai's point's perfect, that is a very significant part of a push that any team hopes to make, you know, towards a postseason. You know, we've seen the Yankees in the 70s fight and do that type of thing, but in a way that's almost galvanizing too, because you're all hot-headed, you're all the same, doing the same thing, pulling the same direction. This team, you see it stick up for each other that way. I think you'll see a lot more of that. And like I said, from rookie to veteran, I don't think they have to be told about that. That's there, it's in their mindset, it's in their heart, and that is a good thing.
Blair, what about the nonsense yesterday? Was there... It seemed to me like there was a little extra kind of chest thumping coming from the Royal side. I mean, we all see it through our lens. This is a team we're most familiar with. And I've seen media in other cities get into this whole circle the wagons mentality. Our guys never do anything wrong. I don't want to come at it from that perspective. But it did look like not only did Kansas City instigate this whole thing. I mean, they hit Tulowitzki and they all came out of the dugout before a single Blue Jay did. They're doing the crybaby stuff and all the comments after the game. What's going on?
Well, I mean, they've acted like punks at a lot of different times this year against a lot of teams, against Oakland. In particular, I mean, Shai, we talked about this in the clubhouse before the game. Shai made the perfect point. Think back to that incident with Oakland and Brett Laurie. Brett Laurie handled it in the most mature manner. With all due respect to Brett Laurie and his family, when he's the most mature guy in the middle of a situation, your team has some issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, if it wasn't part of a pattern, then you could regard it differently, right? But you know, you think about Ventura with the incident with the White Sox, with the grounder and the comebacker and walking up the line and then trash-talking, and then the way the whole thing with Oakland really spiraled out of control, that if it was an isolated incident with the Royals, you'd say, well, okay, maybe it's the other team that's doing stuff. But when the Royals are continually involved in these kinds of incidents, you know, sometimes it's you, right? And I think that's... Even just some of the talk after and pushing it further and going on and on and on. And, you know, Volquez taking a shot at Josh Donaldson not being Barry Bonds. And, you know, at some point, it's just you have to grow up and just say, hey, this is part of the game. I don't need to kind of egg it on. But instead, the Royals seem content to continue egging it on, which is, you know, great for discussion purposes and entertainment purposes. But within the context of baseball, I think at some point that can start getting out of hand. And, I mean, the Royals have shown, demonstrated over the year that they don't mind letting things get out of hand.
And you know what I really liked out of the whole incident was the way Sanchez and Osuna handled it. Sellout crowd, clearly a big game, clearly an emotional game. I think Sanchez threw it Escobar on purpose. I love the way Sanchez handled it after the game. Just a little bit of anger in his voice. One of those things that doesn't necessarily close the door on whether or not you threw it a guy on purpose or not. That's the way it should be. You should, the idea should be out there that maybe Aaron Sanchez did throw at the other guy to protect his teammates. And the same thing with Osuna coming in, giving up that home run, coming back out in the ninth and closing. I mean, it's a 20-year-old kid and a guy who's, you know, spent, what, 2 months as a closer last year, taking care of business against the defending American League champions. That, to me, was the biggest takeaway from the game.
I might be on an island with this one, but I kind of like the Royals and what they did. Because we're talking about galvanization. That's how they galvanize. They may do it in a negative way in a dangerous way, but they play ball hard. There's no question about that. They're not going to sit back. They're the American League champions. You're not. They're going to show that to you. I think good thing for the Jays, too, is they can play anybody's game now. They can play that game. They've demonstrated that. And but throwing at people and stuff like that is not not the kind of baseball you want to see, but that's the kind of baseball that sometimes is needed to, you know, to have. You have to have that on your team. And that's, you know, that requires a team buying into that too, which they all do. Now they get suspended for it. You know, they can be looked at as a dirtier team or a, you know, carrying that type of element. But I'm not a fan of it. But I'm not going to sit there and criticize it, because I think that's part of playing the game hard. And at this time of year, if you're not playing the game hard, you're not going to be in a game.
That's Mark Zwolinski of the Toronto Star. We've got Jeff Blair and Shai Davidi from Sportsnet on our Writers' Roundtable as we get you set for the Blue Jays and Twins, Game 1 of 4, David Price against Irvin Santana. I'm going to go back to you, Zorro, just to build on those comments. Is there a difference, though, when you're trying to play that game about an Aaron Sanchez who hits a guy below the waist and the Royals who had four pitches in but at the letters or above?
Absolutely. And the Royals, you know, there's no sugarcoating what they did. Absolutely not. But I admire both sides for doing and playing their to their identity. And like I said, Sanchez showed me a lot. I think he showed his teammates a lot. The Royals are a different breed. They're probably the only team in the league that's going to play like that. I think they've got the most suspensions and a few other stats related to buzz balls like that. But that's their identity. That's, you know, they've established that in April. Their pitching staff established that. So, you know, like it or leave it, but that is their identity. And to me, I'm going to look at it and say it's dangerous, but I'm not going to look at it and say it's not something a team should do. Like I said, you got to play hard. That's how they play. They set the bar there. They're not waiting for someone else to set it. They're going to set it. You better live up to them. They're the champs. This is the park and the game you're playing in.
No, that's a good point Mark makes. One thing, piece of context. Remember last year when Marcus Stroman buzzed Caleb Joseph and how the Orioles flipped out and said, look, you don't do it around the head. You do it in the body if you're going to do it. And that's fine, and that's the game. And to me, that's where a lot of the things spiral out of control here, because there was so much up and in at the head. And if emotions are hot, I mean, and they're trying to intimidate Josh Donaldson in that spot. And Edson Volquez made the point after the game, said, that's our scouting report, go up and in. And that's exactly what they did. But in that context, after a warning, you go up and in, well, that's only going to rile things up further. And if you go in around the chest, the situation doesn't escalate the way that it did.
Last thing about the Royals, and before we move on to the Blue Jays, because we spent 60% of our show talking about Kansas City. But, Blair, let me ask you this. They talk about a lot of teams needing to learn how to win. Kansas City Royals got to Game 7 of the World Series last year. Is this a team that needs to learn how to be on top? Or is what they're doing, like Zorro says, does it just work for them?
No, I think this is, I mean, that's the Kansas City Royals. That's whether they're on top or whether they're fighting for a wild card spot, that's the way they're going to play. I don't have any problem with the way anything transpired on Sunday. Just as long as you call punkish action, and just kind of keep it in context. The only issue I had with Sunday was the fact that Jim Wolf gave out a warning in the first inning. That's just, it's inexcusable. And this is an umpire that doesn't throw people out. He hasn't thrown anybody out this year, hadn't until he tossed the Jays players. His reputation is as a very consistent umpire with a pro pitcher strike zone. So that to me is where it was handled improperly, because as Jose Bautista pointed out, by issuing the warning, essentially what you are saying is, from this point on, I'm making a value judgment as to what the pitcher's trying to do. Me, the home plate umpire, I've issued a warning, so every time somebody gets hit or a pitch is inside, it's up to me to judge what the intent was. Nobody can do that.
Except with R.A. Dickey on the mound, because if R.A. Dickey hits somebody with a fastball, he's gone. And that ruins everything right there.
This is the thing about him, about Jim Wolf. He told R.A. Dickey, look, I know you're a knuckleball pitcher. I know knuckleballs are going to get away. I'm not running you. Your knuckleball got away. I mean, he told Aaron Sanchez, pitch your game. The only thing Jim Wolf did wrong yesterday, I think, was issue that warning. Other than that, you know, that was the one thing I had an issue with.
Jeff Blair, Shai Davidi, Mark Zwolinski. Let's talk about the Blue Jays and the changes made over the course of the last week. They flip 20% of the roster. They bring in two relievers in LaTroy Hawkins and Mark Lowe. They bring in an everyday left fielder in Ben Revere. David Price and Troy Tulowitzki, obviously the big prizes. Shai, you first. People were saying before last week, you know what, maybe the Blue Jays shouldn't do anything. That was a prevailing opinion because they're more than one piece away. They got a lot more than one piece this week.
Right, and that's what a lot of people was surprising, the extent of prospect capital that Alex Anthopoulos was willing to spend in order to turn over this roster to the degree that he did. And, you know, it really starts with being able to do the Tulowitzki deal. The Tulowitzki deal is the one that it's transformative both in the short and the longer term, right? Because Tulowitzki is going to be here for, or has the potential to be here or under club control for 5 years. So, you know, you put that piece in place. And then Ben Revere, you still have club control over for at least one more season. So you get two elements like that, but everyone else is a little bit more transient. And so that part of it, we haven't seen Alex Anthopoulos go for rentals the way that he has this year. And, you know, David Price obviously being the big one, and Daniel Norris goes out in his Tigers debut, throws seven innings of one-run ball. And so that gives you an illustration of the type of price you had to pay, no pun intended. So these are all things we haven't seen the Blue Jays do. And that is a product of the opportunity right now, where they were in this team, and the belief that the prospects that they had weren't going to time with a core that they've really positioned for the next 2-3 years. And if you're not going to get that, what you need out of those prospects at this point in time, when you have so many pieces in place, but maybe not quite enough, it represented the right time, the right opportunity for the Blue Jays to make a push.
Now, Mark Swilinski, what do you think of dealing this much prospect capital? I mean, there's an old saying in the game that there's no such thing as a pitching prospect because guys flame out far more often than not. But also the idea that a cupboard can be made bare with this kind of just shows a misunderstanding of what's actually in a major league farm system.
Absolutely. And I'm always of the belief, and as a general axiom in baseball, you can never have enough pitching depth in your system. But that's what the draft is for, too. And I think under Alex, they've shown that they're fairly good at drafting pitching depth and having pitchers that they've drafted graduate quickly through minor leagues, go to the major league level. I think if you look at those numbers and even look at the trades that they've made, the kids they've gotten rid of, a lot of them are at the major league level or very close to it. So there is that precedent set that they can continue to do that. And like Shai said, this is a product of an opportunity now to do something, and not to say all in, but you know, these are the type of deals that, you know, they don't materialize every year. These are maximum deals. You could probably look at the history of deals in this organization. There are not very many that have happened like this. So this is a perfect storm type thing. It's also a product, as Shai says, of opportunity, but a product of good drafting, having good people in the system. I think under Alex, he's been fairly adamant to increase his scouts, increase his presence, and let them do their job and trust in them. So I'm all for that. And again, you can go back and say, if you didn't make any of those trades since 2013, look at the staff you would have now at the major league level, a young staff, which would bode well for the future. So, yeah, there's a balance and a scale there that tips one direction or the other. But for this point in time, it is a perfect storm. And I think there's also an opportunity that you can almost be assured that it will happen, that they'll restock those bear cupboards and be able to be in this position again very quickly.
Yeah, basically, I mean, they made a decision not to defer. And, you know, once they made the initial deals with the Marlins, they set up a window that they need to keep going right now. And so your choice, if you're not going to make this kind of buildup, is to pull back and start resetting yourself a little bit. So clearly the Blue Jays want to continue with the core that they have and supporting the core that they have. They did that by getting Donaldson and Martin, and then now augmenting with Tulowitzki as well. So that's your part of your core. Batista and Encarnacion are question marks beyond 2016, but that's something that's going to have to be figured out. But if the rest of those kids aren't going to time, then maybe it doesn't make sense to keep some of the pieces that they had. So this organization had a decision to make. Which way are you going?
I was just thinking, Irvin Santana's on the mound for Minnesota today. Remember when that was a thing in spring training last year? And you talked about deferral, Shai, how the Jays players were asked to defer to maybe get Irvin Santana. I think that shows you how far the organization's come. Look, I don't give up the prospect capital that Alex gives up for any rental pitcher unless it's David Price. I don't do that for Johnny Cueto. I certainly don't do it with Scott Kazmir. Alex got the best available pitcher on the market. And yeah, it cost him a lot of prospect capital to do it. But you know what? That's one of the reasons you have prospects. It's one of the reasons you have a minor league system, especially when you can get a guy like David Price.
About 2 minutes left with the Writers' Roundtable. That was Jeff Blair. Shai Davidi is here. Mark Smolinski of the Toronto Star. And, Mark, when I think about all these trades, I'm thinking they didn't move Stroman, they didn't move Sanchez, they didn't move Osuna. These are the three guys who could form the core of your rotation for the next half decade.
Absolutely. And who knows, we may see Stroman in some role, possibly relief, in September. You have a solid base at the major league level now. You have a somewhat shifted and different leadership group. They're very strong pillars to build on. What I like is the young, the age level of the pitchers, the young pitchers at the major league level. That is very key. This is a young man's game. We saw that in spring training with Castro now gone, that they're giving these young pitchers a chance. There's a lot of good young pitchers in the minor leagues, hard throwers. This is where it's going. I think they have this in place, and it, like I said, it's there's pillars there that are going to bode well for the future.
We have 40 seconds left, and since it's Jeff Blair's time slot, I'm going to give him the last word. He'll be on Baseball Central at noon tomorrow. With a third of a season left, and they hit the third mark tomorrow, the two-thirds mark tomorrow, is this team good enough, and is there enough time to make an honest-to-goodness run at a division title and a deep run into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there is. I really think there is. They've got 13 games against the Yankees, and they're a much better team than they were 10 days ago. Yeah, I absolutely think there is time. I have no doubt about that. Not having David Price, I would look at the situation differently. But with David Price pitching three or four times against him, absolutely there's time.
And David Price makes his Blue Jays debut today, and then he faces the Yankees at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. Gentlemen, another award-winning rendition of the Writers' Roundtable. Shai Davidi from Sportsnet.com, Jeff Blair from Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Mark Smolinski from the Toronto Star. We will hook up with the network at the bottom of the hour, getting you set for the Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.